Right. This one's a bit easier to read by the looks of it. I feel like I say this often, but I mean it every time. Especially this weekend, I'm so happy to be here with all of you. I'm so, pleased to see some old friends as well coming back to spend this time with us, and new faces to come and spend this time with us. These are some of my favourite times in the year. I think that there is something really special about them, something really set apart. I think I put some blurb in that program about it being like a Sabbath space. And the Sabbath time is a set apart time. It's a separate rhythm for the rest of our lives and the rest of our week. It's a time to stop and reflect and perhaps ponder things that have gone by and dig a little deeper and listen and rest and get fresh vision for the future. So this morning I wanted to share a little bit of stuff that I really feel is really good for us to be going into, and is going to be provide real life for us in the year to come and this time to come. This isn't actually what I'm talking about. this is the story so far. When we were talking about this beforehand, I can't remember who it was, either Joel or Jonathan suggested we do this in Star Wars format. We have a rolling credits. Like, you come to this point, and this isn't where the story starts, but you kind of need to know this before we move on to the next part. So lots of you, not all of you, but lots of you will have been involved in conversations towards the end of last year about who we are. We sort of tracked along with our wider River family, and we delved into those things. And then we spent a bit of time thinking about us as a smaller part of that family, and what our values are and who we are. So this is kind of an amalgamation, I hope, of different things that we shared that were important to us as a community and as a family. Those were words that came out over and over again, community and family. So those words are sort of threaded through there. You see those over and over. You see those through there. As I said, I'm not going to spend loads of time on here, but I just felt like it was worth just showing this to say, like, this is where we've come. Last year, I think, it's been said, I feel like, several times already, but I just feel to share it again and to just acknowledge for lots of us, for lots of our family, we took a bit of a battering at the beginning of at different points in the last year. People we love very much moved on for different reasons, and we lost one of ours. We lost hope. Lots of other things happened in the midst of that. And yet somehow off the back end of last year, it was filled with such hope and such expectancy and such life. It made me so happy to see us flourish in that in the second half, towards the end of that year. And I know that different things happened, different points. It wasn't smooth sailing at any point, at all points for everyone, but there was a real sense of, we're okay. We're gonna make it through this, and we're alive, and we're here as family, and we're here as church. we're here as a community, and at the beginning of this year there were some sucker punches as well for some of us, and yet I still feel like this is a good year. This feels like a different year. It feels like something fresh, something new, and it feels like it's building and it's an exciting thing to be part of. So that's all I'm going to say on that. It's where I wanted to start. There's something I've got. So I've got three things that I want to look at. I've actually done it the wrong way around. Can you go to the next slide and then go back to that one? Thank you. spoiler that. So this is something I prayed out earlier, and it seemed to resonate. So I just wanted to share it publicly with you guys. And it's just to say that if some of us feel like we're stuck in ruts, maybe. Maybe like patterns of behaviour, like certain things that we do in our lives, certain things that seem really well trodden. Colin spoke about a corner of a field that's churned up and muddy. We feel like that same thing is like, we've done that for so long that feels like it's all we can do and all that ever will be. I just want to say, I think, and I believe that there's a grace on this weekend.
Come on.
Yeah. There's always grace, but there's especially grace now. Just to break into new ways of living, new rhythms and patterns of life that the Holy Spirit can break in and start to change things for us, change things with us, that Father God speaks words of life to us and they release new things for us. So, yeah. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. So, yeah. Relational strength. I really believe there's something in theological speak that is called relational ontology.
What does that mean, Pete?
Well, I don't know these words.
This basically means that we are sort of known and formed by our relationships. So actually, who we are isn't defined by like the stuff that we're made of, or the mechanics, or the stuff that we're formed with. Who we are is defined by our relationships, and our relationships go between one another. They go, our identities are formed by those attachments and how people see us and how we are valued. And the primary one there is that relationship with God. So when we don't see that relationship, we don't recognize it, something in us breaks, I think. Like, there's something that is broken. So we need those relationships to tell us who we are. We need people to encourage us and to speak life over us and to carry one another along. I think when we cut ourselves off, we slowly die. Genuinely believe that, which is why these things are so important. And this is a community of amazing relationships. I count you all my friends, and so many of you speak and do so much in my life that brings me life and it sustains me. And it's through rough and smooth. Sometimes it's through the joyous times, sharing those things. We've all shared the joyous times together. Lots of us have shared the tough times together as well. Those are all part of relational strength. And as a family, we don't always get to pick who's in it. we're kind of lumbered with each other, I'm sorry. That's kind of how families work. And some of you I find quite annoying.
Sorry, Pete.
I won't name names. And yet, I still love you from the bottom of my heart. And when, as families, we have to decide to love each other. We have to decide to be with one another, and we have to choose to love each other. I know you guys have been at one of the school groups have been doing stuff on.
We have.
What was it?
Keep your love on.
Stand still, keep your love on. Some of you hate that phrase.
We all hate that phrase.
I know you all hate it. This good stuff. If you can get past the cringeworthiness of the phrase, like keeping our love on for each other is really important. That's cool. So, yeah, I think in this next year, relationships and the strength of our relationships are going to be one of the things that carries us into new places and into new places of life. So I want to say, if you are all in agreement with this, I would like to say that in this community, we don't settle for dysfunctional relationships. That we are people who take responsibility for our relationships. That if something's broken, we're quick to rectify it, quick to apologise if we need to do that. We're quick to encourage one another, and we're quick to, yeah, just see how each other are. I think some of you know Ness Wilson. I love how she speaks about this stuff, and I think it's something that they do really well in their church. And they say, Ness hits up Pioneer, by the way, if anyone missed that. This is just a larger body we're part of. It's stuff like, if stuff is a difficult conversation, go and have it in person, see that person face to face. I think you can tell a lot by a face. You can tell a lot more by a face than you can by what people are saying often. And so I think just being with each other as much as, to say the stuff that counts is important. And sometimes it's just wisdom and knowing these things. And we all mess up, and we offend each other, and we annoy each other in different ways. We all think differently, shock horror. And sometimes conflict arises out of our strong beliefs in certain things. I was chatting about this a little bit in the past, and Joel and I have both been on a conflict course. And the main thing,
have you solved your issues now? Are you okay?
Yeah, I was touch and go for a while, but that really that really saved us. So, firm friends now. But one of the main things that came away from that was that conflict, when you're a group of people, you care about something, conflict is normal. Conflict is unavoidable. That's a normal pattern of life. The difference is how we choose to approach it. Do we see it as an opportunity to move forward? Do we see it as an opportunity to listen to one another, to listen to different voices, to stop and be heard? Or do we let it pull us apart? I think the first one's a better option. We should go for that one. So we embrace conflict as an opportunity to move forward meaningfully. Let's be real. Let's be real with each other. We don't need to hide things from one another. And I know that trust takes a little bit of time to build, and we may not feel initially comfortable with each other, but it takes a step of courage sometimes to be vulnerable with each other. And I know so many of you embody that, and blaze the way, trailblaze on that thing, on that so well. You teach us how to be vulnerable and share, to share what we're doing. Encouragement. So I'm sure that lots of you have read, I don't know if it's pop psychology or real psychology, whatever else. But it certainly seems to resonate, that it seems to ring true, that there are certain things, something about us that means that most of us latch on to negative comments. We pick those up as we go through life. They're like little burrs almost. We pick them up on the way. They might be fleeting moments, passing comments, but they stick with us and they stay with us. And we churn them over and we think those things over. And yet somehow, like, it seems a lot harder sometimes for those positive comments to stay with us, for those encouragements to stay with us. So what I would say was, let's go out of our way to encourage one another and be really specific about it. there's a guy at Pioneer, I can't remember his name, one of the Pioneer conferences a few years ago that was talking about... Yes, an Australian guy. It doesn't matter. And he was talking about the fact that negative comments and sort of criticisms are often quite detailed, and we've thought about them for a long time. But the encouragement is, "Oh, I think you're great," and that's cool to hear. But sometimes we need to hear why we're great and why people love us. Not why people love us, but why people think that we're awesome. So I want to say, over the course of this weekend, I would set you the challenge of finding at least one person and telling them why you think they're great, and be really specific. If someone comes up to you and says you're awesome, say...
Punch them in the face.
Why?
Thanks. or come prepared with an encouragement for Jonathan. But yeah, if someone says you're great, ask them why. That's perfectly legitimate. So let's be people who practice grace, forgiveness, and compassion for one another. Let's be people who are quick to forgive, hold short account, and believe the best of one another, and apologise when we're wrong. Perhaps let's call each other out in love. As we grow in trust and we grow in depth, we gain permission to challenge one another, to ask hard questions. So let's invite challenge into our lives. All right, so I'm going back a step now. Oh, crap. We're getting quite close to the end of time. I will go faster on this. maybe I don't need to spend a lot of time on this because it's already been hinted at in a way. But this is, I think it's quite an old-fashioned term, something called body ministry. Some of you will already know what that is. And I sort of hate the word ministry in a way, but I couldn't think of a better way to describe it. So this is what we've got, every person in ministry. Yeah, that passage, we all know that passage from 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about us being one body and many members. So though many are one body, so it is with Christ. So in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. So in times when we come together like this, we want to hear the different voices. We want to hear what everyone has to bring. I want to say to all of you, every person here counts and is noticed. You're noticed for your presence or lack of it. Not in a... Where's Jonathan? He said he'd be here. But in a... Oh, man, I miss Jonathan. I miss him when he's not here, and I miss what he has to bring. So we all count, and it matters. It matters that we're here, and it matters what we bring. I'm going to skip that part. It went something along the lines of get involved with stuff. old on you, if it's something you want to get involved with in the fabric of church life, get involved in it. If there's something you want to get involved in the wider scheme of things, if you want to start something, collaborate with people. Yeah, collaborate with people here, collaborate with neighbours, with other people in local churches, with neighbours and other community members. Just start stuff. I'm so excited about this beehive, and I know these beehives, and I know there's so many others are. Isn't that cool? We have beehives at the hub.
Will be cool.
Yeah.
Open to everyone.
Yeah.
Have a go. I will be able to see.
Yeah, we've got small, suits for young children and older children.
So. In the summer holidays.
Yeah. And small people. Yeah. and there's something else I wanted to say that perhaps as new people start to join us, who are relative like babies in the spiritual world and the like in their relationships with God, some of you are mothers and fathers in the real, in the flesh. But I believe that we're all, and in this next season of time, we're all going to be mothers and fathers. That as new people come and spend time with us, that we might be challenged a little bit to be the ones who step out confidently and the ones who are guiding others into new things, praying for people and encouraging them and sitting in conversation. Now, that doesn't mean we need to know everything. None of us do. Yeah. I'm well aware that lots of you are much wiser than I am and much more talented in so many ways. Aaron especially. It doesn't mean I need to know everything, but I'm in the room. We're all in the room and we count. And people may come to you and ask you, like, hey, I need you to pray with me, I need you to build me up. I've got this thing, I don't know what's going on. And again, we don't need to know the answer, but yeah, we may be challenged in that. And I just want to acknowledge right here that I've loved the way that so many of you have like stepped up over this last bit of time, stepped into roles that were really challenging. And you've put yourselves forward, even when you didn't know what you were doing. you put your name in the hat and you stood up and were accountable for that. So I just want to acknowledge that and say thank you to all of you who have done that. And let there be more of that. Let's always... Well, maybe not always, but let's sometimes be out of our depth and step into new things. Let's not settle for the status quo.
Yeah.
So, moving on to my last of my classic 3-point sermon. I've spoken a little bit about relationships among each other and every person in ministry, and that's kind of a doing thing in some ways. Every person in ministry, it's sort of a transformational thing as well. And this year ahead, I'm sure we're going to be doing all sorts of things. I mean, the life of the hub, that there's always lots going on at the hub, lots of things to be doing. We're doing lunches, there are kids clubs, and there's going to be beehiving, is that a verb? Can I make a verb out of that? And all manner of... We're going to be doing lots of things. There are going to be lots of things happening. But I want to say that's not our priority in this year ahead. The things that we do come out of who we are. And who we are comes out of our relationships with each other, and our relationship with God.
Yeah.
I think the other day when, I can't remember where this comes from, it's one of the Gospels, I think it's after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus says, come away with me to the quiet place. Last night we kind of spent some time and pondered on the words, be still and know that I am God. And that's our well, that's our oasis, that's the place that we fill up, that's our place of receiving from the living God, of the Holy Spirit transforming us inside and out, of taking on the mind of Christ. That's our place of connection, our place to hear. It's it's the banqueting table. It's the place we come to be changed, to be transformed, to be renewed. So I would encourage us over the next bit of time, just starting this weekend, perhaps to learn or relearn how to pray, and to connect with God. Some of it, I know at points I think Emma was talking about it, I felt like, oh, I know how to pray, but it feels rusty at times, and it feels like it's like grinding against something, it's not properly functioning, and it takes something to build up, to sort of enter into that space. But and yet every time I do, I'm like, oh, why wasn't I doing this? This thing is life to me. This thing is the source. This thing is what I need to do everything else. I need to just come and be in the presence of God. There are lots of things you can do. There are lots of practical things you can do to facilitate this. I might just reel off a few really quickly. And this isn't to bombard you, it's just to give you some ideas. So the other day, Pete Gregg came to share with us. Some of you were there somewhere. He worked through this. You should listen to that, by the way, back if you haven't already. It's well worth listening, if nothing else, for the stories.
Yes.
He laid out a model of how to pray. It's P-R-A-Y. And Michelle remembers them. What were they, Michelle?
Pause. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Ask
and
yield.
Yes.
Or yes. If it's children.
So stuff like that. Just sometimes it can be like stripping it really back to the basics and just saying, oh, I need to learn. I've forgotten how to connect with you, God. I need something to help me in this. So I think Diana was mentioning like a read the Bible in a year type thing. Some of you, if that's helpful, that might be worth a go. We're doing 21. We're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting as River. I know some of you, like lots of us, have already been doing that. If you haven't and you'd like to, there's still 2 weeks to join in with that. There are apps you can use. Emma was mentioning different apps. Worship evenings that have been happening. I think Rachel was suggesting an evening of prayer altogether for the journey, which I think would be amazing to see. Some of us need to go walking and go outside. And some of us need to perhaps just carve out 5 minutes every morning. Just 5 minutes to connect with God. 5 minutes to be quiet, to read a verse, to listen to a song, read a poem. Or just sit quietly. And something like what Catherine shared led us in this morning. Quiet time of contemplation and connection with our Heavenly Father. So this is about cultivating lives which resonate with the heartbeat of God. It's kind of, and what I was saying earlier about ruts, if we want something different, then something we need to do something different, something needs to be different. And some of us need support from one another, we need grace, we need a word to release us into that. But sometimes it's just slowing down. This is what Kerry was talking about, sharing on a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes it's about slowing down and turning our attention to the one thing. attention can be our scarcest resource, and I might need to practice doing one thing at a time. Multitasking is a thing where we're often encouraged to do, and it's a beneficial thing, but I think sometimes it robs us. It robs us of recognising what we're doing in that moment. We miss what's happening around us. We miss what's happening right in front of us. So maybe I need to practice doing one thing at a time and giving it my full attention. Learning to eliminate hurry. From constantly bouncing from one thing to the next, filling my days with background buzz. And I went through a stage of listening every night. I'd go to bed listening to something or watching something, and then I realised I found it hard to sleep without that thing. And I thought, oh, maybe I need to not do that. maybe I need to try without it. And this will be an individual thing. I'm not saying this needs to happen for anyone, but maybe listen to the nudges. Find space. Yeah, listen to maybe a physical nudge from Matt. Maybe I need to actually take Sabbath. I need to take a rest day and really, truly, properly stop and rest. So, these things, for us personally, they change our lives personally, they transform us internally, but they're also for the health and the wholeness of the family and the community. It affects all of us when we're kind of, some of us are broken, and that's right, that we should share in one another's, share with one another when we're doing well and when we're not. And we need each other to do that. So I'm gonna round up here. I think there's one last slide. So that's kind of what I want for this year. Every person walking in friendship, going deeper. I'm gonna pray now, and I think we've got a break after this for half an hour.
No.
15
minutes.
Quarter
to 12.
Okay. So we have a short break after that. Okay. So I'm going to pray, but I also can I ask that we, after we finish break, can I ask that we, if we're going for coffee and stuff, that we leave quietly and we allow everyone a moment to sit here if they'd like to in quiet. Lord, Father God, thank you for your friendship and your goodness and your kindness and your depth. Thank you that you are a deep, deep well. You are faithful. You are kind. I thank you for my family. Thank you for friendships. And I thank you for joy and looking towards the future. I thank you for fresh life and fresh vision. And I pray that this would be a year where we know that every person among us counts, that we are quick to welcome new people, that we are quick to forgive and to encourage one another, that we walk in ever greater friendship as we go on this journey together towards knowing you. And I pray that there is grace for us to go deeper in this time and in the year ahead.